just like the numerous communication satellites that link up in space and provide a web of information flowing everywhere in the world 24 hours a day, there are high-bandwidth underwater cables that are still doing the same things worldwide. And just as there has been concern about future threats to satellites, the vulnerability of undersea cables has become an American national security concern as Russian military vessels are now operating near these cables. For decades, they have endured the regular disruptions of fishing vessels. But can the underground cable network endure something more premeditated and nefarious? Nicole Staroselsky is author of The Undersea Network. She says that we should still be paying attention to the old fishing vessels, even as the Russian ships get closer.
Well, I wouldn't underestimate the accidents by fishing vessels. Between, I think, 1959 and 2006, 60% of all of the disruptions were fishing vessels and boats. Most of these not premeditated. It's actually a rarity to have deliberate sabotage of a cable system. I'm not sure that this is any greater a threat than the already existing threat that is out there.
And if a cable were to go down or a series of cables were to go down, how would I notice that? How would I understand that? Would it impede phone traffic, internet traffic? Would it be something I'd be able to see?
Well, here in the United States, you probably wouldn't see you wouldn't really know. It would take a lot of cables to go down for that to happen. Cables go down probably on average once every 3 days, or about 200 or so faults a year. Estimates vary, but they are severed regularly. But usually traffic is redirected. And in the U.S., a lot of the traffic, the internet traffic is domestic, right? There's a lot of internet content hosted here, and there are a lot of cables. So you'd have to sever quite a few cables in order to take down the United States internet.
Who owns the cables? Everyone? No one?
Well, large telecommunications companies own cables. There are recently, like, Google has laid cables. You have a lot of different cable owners out there. But usually governments don't own cables. So to think about a U.S. cable doesn't really make sense. There are cables that are shared or connect countries and that are owned by multiple telecommunications carriers. But there are rarely cables that are solely one government's system.
The electric grid is spoken of as being very vulnerable because it's very difficult to rewire and to reroute current and electricity. But it sounds like the undersea information cable system is much more easy, easy to reroute, has more plasticity in it.
Yes, definitely. It automatically reroutes upon break. Doesn't even take somebody to push a switch to say, oh, it broke, now we need to figure out an alternate route. That's done automatically.
Whose good idea was that? Because that's not something we associate with the infrastructure.
Well, that's something that was designed into the system from the beginning of the kind of fiber optic era. The people who have set up the cable systems have designed it that way.
Are we low-tech under the sea and high-tech in space? Or are cables always going to be necessary and will be, in some level, on the cutting edge of our communications ability?
Well, cables are the cutting edge of our transoceanic global communications network. I mean, they are the backbone. They carry almost 100% of all transoceanic traffic. Satellites really connect places that don't have cables. And yet, at the same time, they are extraordinarily low-tech. They're laid much in the same way that they were laid 150 years ago. They're wound up in a boat, and the boat goes across the ocean, and they drop to the seafloor. When they need to be repaired, they, you know, drag it up and splice it. It's pretty low-tech in terms of it's grounded in a long history, practices staying fairly the same.
But the low-tech is something we should be feeling pretty secure about in terms of security and the threats to this very plastic network. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Nicole Staroselsky is the author of The Undersea Network and is a professor of media, culture, and communications at NYU.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.